This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganapake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. The Toys That Made Us Season 2 has dropped on Netflix. We spoke about Season 1 a few months ago. That was Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man and G.I. Joe. Now they're covering Star Trek, Transformers, Lego and Hello Kitty. The show is created by Brian Volk Weiss, and this second season really dips into nostalgia and hits home for me in all the right ways.
It's a bit of a stretch calling it Season 2 though. This is we didn't get these finished in time for the Netflix date of the original.
Let's be honest, this is Season 1 Part 2.
Exactly.
It was. And he admitted as much last season. He said he could only get 4 episodes done in time. Mm. They've branded this as Season 2, but the theme song clearly says it's an 8-part documentary series.
Yes. Yeah. And I still hate the theme song. I hate it.
I always skip it.
Skip as that soon thing as every it just, single yeah. time. Ugh.
I mean, for
I
me...
I sit through it all the time.
Oh, God.
It's an 8-part documentary series.
For you wear me, your hair shirt and whip yourself thing... with a leather strap while you're doing it?
For me, the only thing about that theme song is that now I know there are no more.
Well, until Season... 3/2.
Unless this is just it. This is all they do. Because I was talking to Uma earlier today and we were thinking about how, what other American
Mask.
Sort of... Yeah, but...
this I don't is Mask. Know, do Mask and we're good.
Oh, yeah. I'd love Mask, yeah. But I don't know if it sort of really transcended the Transformers. You know, like the way Transformers, Hello Kitty, Lego has.
Yeah, they're really iconic with them.
Yeah.
So they paint themselves into an iconic corner.
Yes. So I think maybe 8 episodes is all they've got.
They didn't do Smurfs either, right?
No,
they didn't do Smurfs. It's cartoons.
But it's both.
They had toys,
Yeah.
Either way, we're not spitballing Season 3 here, so Season 2.
Season 2, yeah. Right? Anyway, so, on. I mean, it kicks off with Star Trek, which is probably one of the greatest toy disasters in history.
Mm.
It is so funny how out of touch they were with what the public wanted. And I had no idea the kind of ridiculous Star Trek toys that had nothing to do with Star Trek that they released.
It almost feels a lot like the Pasar Malam stuff we get here.
Exactly.
Right? You know,
that's exactly
they will
it.
Just stick a
slap
stick.
A logo. On
let's
it.
Just slap a logo on it and just like, you know, yeah, it's the new Marvel gun.
Yeah.
You know, what?
I mean, I would love one of those hats with a siren on it. In the early 2000s, I would have been down for that, man.
With the word Spock emblazoned right at the front.
The top, yeah.
And Gene Roddenberry, I think he didn't care as much. So he just licensed everything. He was like, hey, you want to make toys? Sure, put Star Trek on bubble machines.
But you also got to remember, this is like 10, 15 years before Star Wars revitalized the industry completely. So,
correct.
I mean, they did that in the previous series.
No, but also this is just like in the early, early days of, you know, toys and TV shows, right? Mm. Like, or toys and anything.
Yeah, and licensing.
Yeah, prior to that, it's always just been, you know, here's a wooden duck on a string.
Yes.
You know?
Those sides of the Lego episode. There.
Yeah, so yeah, pulling that out.
But even now you look at it, like the big movies that come out, like are the toy lines aren't that big thing. You know, there's the Star Wars, but like I saw some Jurassic World Lego the other day and I was like, eh?
Mm.
I mean, yeah.
This feels like an excuse to make a Lego, Jurassic World Lego stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think unless you're a franchise that is established like Star Wars or Harry Potter or maybe Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, for the most part, the toy lines aren't that big a deal, right?
And therein lies the problem with every one of these episodes. It's like they're trying to tie into something that they don't know if it's going to be big or not. I mean, do you remember Avatar toys?
Yes, I do.
And they were kind of weird looking, and they were a weird scale and everything, and they came in like matching boxes.
Yeah.
But like that movie was huge, but those toys were not great.
But then again, Avatar had absolutely zero cultural footprint, right?
Well,
I mean, it
opposite.
Made a ton of money, but nothing. I mean, it's not actually referenced in any way in popular culture unless people are making fun of it.
There's a running gag on the Slash Film podcast about it not being a cultural thing. But there is now a Disneyland Avatar park.
Yeah.
So it is weird. Again, that's also what? How long? A decade after the movie came out?
No, yeah, pretty much.
Sure, yeah. I mean, the opposite of that would be the Green Lantern toys. They made so much of those and so many shops picked that up that, and when the movie bombed, they're literally just trying to get rid of it now.
Yeah. Everything ends up in the bargain bin.
Yeah, but you can still go to shops in Amcot Mall where you and you can just go like, five pieces of Green Lantern toy for 20 ringgit. And even then, people won't buy it.
I think you can see some of those Star Trek toys as well. And those Playmates, the Playmates ones were obviously the best ones. Those were the toys I remember the most. And like, I think you can still find those in those kind of flea markets and stuff.
I was just going to say, now you know where to find Bahe every weekend.
Yeah.
At Amcot Mall. Looking for Green Lantern toys.
No, I've gotten past it. I've got my lantern.
One of these days, they will be collector's items.
I'm happy. I never got into the movie ones.
What was interesting about all four of these episodes was the cultural phenomenon / footprint that each of these things left behind, right? I was experiencing very similar things with Transformers all the way here in Malaysia. Back in the day, we used to get a lot of the American ones, the Takara Japanese ones we got a little later, but we got the Optimus Prime Hasbro branded ones first.
As opposed to Convoy.
As opposed to Convoy, right? And that was a big... I guess
confusing as hell as a kid.
It was super confusing as a kid. You didn't know what was going on, but we were exposed to those stories first. And so that was what I found really, really interesting, because with Transformers, with Star Trek and Hello Kitty, all three of the manufacturers kind of focused on driving the product at some point with a story. Mm. With Lego, it was Bionicle. It was the story of Bionicle that saved them. Yeah. Meanwhile, with Transformers, it was the story that actually drove the product in the first place.
Yeah. Bob Budiansky put on it.
Exactly.
And what I do like about this series, apart from hating the opening, is the way that they... I don't like the jokey style all the time, but some of the way they carry out their interviews work incredibly well. Like talking to the guy who came up with all the... Like Jim Shooter came up with the Autobots and Decepticons.
Yeah.
But Bob Budiansky had to come up with all the stories and backstories.
And the names.
And the names for all these characters. And just... He seems like he hasn't, like, he's aged, but like when you see old photos of him, he looks
kind
very
of, yeah, similar.
He's got
yeah.
the exact same haircut, which yeah, is yeah. kind of creepy. He stays the same age. Optimus Prime gets older.
Yes.
But the stories of just these people working behind the scenes, or the father of Hello Kitty, like just, he has a great slogan, small gifts, big smile, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's literally the whole thing behind his entire Sanrio empire now. And yeah. I think this is why I watch this show for. It's these characters behind it. The other guy as well, who's the toy man who was involved. Like, he pops up in the Star Trek episode, and he pops up again in the next episode. Yes. It's like, ah, there's that guy again wearing the same clothes. They're doubling down on the production value. And he's a real character who went to jail for, moving money around between companies. And, like, that's interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the first season did that. There were quite a few episodes in the first season that did that very well.
Mm, the Masters in the Universe one, I think, was very good with the artwork, right?
The artwork, but also went into the backstory, right? Like how these toys came to be. The G.I. Joe one where they actually talked about how they designed the cartoons after they already had the toys. Mm. And the comic books, right? So in a few of these, they're a little more... For example, the Hello Kitty one is very much... less about the actual toys and more about the cultural phenomenon and how they tried to expand to the US, how that didn't work, whatever. Yeah.
But that's what's great about the Hello Kitty episode. In talking about this cultural phenomenon, none of them can actually explain why it works.
No. Yeah.
And we don't know why it works as well. It's completely inexplicable, which means it's impossible to recreate.
It's because she's got no mouth.
No, but the other thing as well with the Hello Kitty one, she isn't an actual toy, right? Like, G.I. Joe is an actual toy.
She was a logo on a purse.
She's a logo on a purse.
A cartoon character in the literal sense of the word. Not a comic, not an animation, but like literally just a cartoonified character on a... that they sell on products.
Yeah, and on everything else. Yeah. Like, she's a little... on a purse, she's on a shoe, she's on a, she's on a hat, but she's not...
She's on everything, as you find out in this
video. But she's not an actual figure.
No, it was two decades later before they made a cartoon.
Yeah.
And they gave her a mouth.
Which was controversial.
If I remember from season one, wasn't the Masters of the Universe episode kind of like, we need to come up with something, a new toy that has the cultural relevance, and that was where they were literally just throwing crazy ideas at the wall.
Yeah. I mean, correct.
So there is that element.
It's sort of the response, it's like the response for boys to the Barbies, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you get different sides of the thing. But the thing is, like, it just reinforces that nobody knows anything ever, anywhere. Like, even these behemoths
of toy industries
and they're making tens or hundreds of millions 1 year, and the following year, it's all gone.
Because it's so timely, and we see that with Lego as well. You know, the first year they make a Star Wars product, it sells out, and they don't make enough, and they're like, all right, let's make more.
Let's double down next year.
And then there's no Star Wars movie, and no one buys it.
Yeah. The thing that blew my mind about the Lego episode was that there was no tubes inside the underside of the bricks at first.
They
never knew that. That was amazing. They were hollow, so they were just... They wouldn't stick together.
They wouldn't stick together. They were just, you know, you just place them on top of each other and they fall
that
apart.
That was amazing. And I love the guy who's there. He's a cultural mediator, they called him. They just call, they keep cutting back to him to say, the system.
The system.
Yeah, I mean, that... I like, so it goes a bit overdone with the jokiness of the editing, but that was, he's a character that was the best use of him.
The Lego episode for me was one of the most fascinating episodes because of how the company has endured through its ups and downs, right? I mean, it's been on the verge of bankruptcy.
Three generations of the family were in charge of it, and actually three generations, each of whom introduced something that helped propel it to greater heights before.
Absolutely crucial, right?
Yeah. Before stepping away and letting someone else do it. Which like,
on their own accord as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And it's still a family-owned company. It's not listed on any stock market.
They're just not on the CEO and financial.
Correct. They're
positions.
Still on the board. They're not the CEO and the CFO. Very, very smart decisions on their part. And also, when Lego actually tried to save themselves after bankruptcy, they introduced this thing called Bionicle. They created stories which children could latch onto.
Yep.
And it's quite interesting because they did what G.I. Joe and He-Man and Transformers did a few decades earlier, right?
Yep.
But it's quite interesting how all these foreign products have to do that to kind of break into the American and UK markets.
Mm. Well, I think it's not so much to break in, it was to break up. They just had, it's one of these things, like I always get amazed when they started advertising cornflakes as an afternoon or an evening meal. And it's like, you've got enough money. Like, there's a certain point where you have to say, this is all the money we're going to make.
And
we have to be reasonable.
Yeah.
If you can't have year-on-year growth every year.
Yeah. I think the Lego thing was, I don't think it's a breaking into the market. I think it's sort of like what Ian says. There's also got to be a latching on to, right? If newer generations who did not grow up with Lego, well, you have to have an excuse to buy it. And then they go like, but I've got Avengers.
Right, but how do you also fight the competition? Because there's Kanax and there's all these other building blocks, right? And so you sell it with a unique story, whether it's Ninjago or Bionicle or whatever, right?
Or the system.
Or the system. Or just the system. What I want is a kind of episode that ties stuff together because there are so many parallels between all of these stories, so many missteps, mistakes, and then savior stories that come in. And it would be nice if they actually pick from each one because in the self-contained episodes, they don't necessarily tie it back to, say, G.I. Joe or the failures of G.I. Joe or even Hasbro's failures in something else made up for its successes here.
Or there's no mention in the Lego episodes about how whether the video game end of things helped them out at all because they had many missteps there before they had like the Lego Star Wars games or Lego Harry Potter games and whether that actually contributes to them at all, because one of the things we learned from this is that every time any of these toy manufacturers partners with everybody, like Sanrio was making Snoopy toys and they were just not making any money because all the money was going to the US.
Yeah,
so
licensing. Yeah.
They make this business side of stuff interesting.
They do. Yeah. They do. It's really, really quite exciting. And also for me, the other thing that absolutely blows my mind every time with all of these episodes is just the commitment of Japanese people to craft and engineering, right? The thing that
shines... The Transformers episode, you have to say.
The thing that shines is that Americans are great at marketing. Japanese, not so good at marketing.
Mm.
But man, when Americans try to do new stuff, they just completely flub it. And then the Japanese people are committed to how that robot transforms and looks and feels. And it's incredible.
Yeah, those dark days before Beast Wars came out where it's like, it turns into, what was it, a super cannon mega tank or something like that? It's like, it looks like...
I used to
like,
have those.
At one time, Megatron just went from a green block into a slightly tankier green block.
Yeah, I think for me, the biggest sort of revelation from that one, from that Transformers episode is, like you said, the Japanese can't do marketing. So all these robot things are just robot things. They're
Cassette
not
Man's
fighting.
My favorite. I had Cassette Man. He was my favorite.
No, but the thing
it wasn't Soundwave. It was just Cassette Man.
Yeah, they weren't fighting. They weren't on opposite sides. They were just like a robot that turns into a gun.
Yeah.
A radio that turns into a robot. So be it.
Yeah.
Let's move on. You know, it's just like, wow, really, Japanese people?
And the Americans couldn't design transforming robots for nuts.
Yeah. They came up with, so that it explained the whole Pretender thing, which was like the plastic shell with a robot inside.
Yeah,
remember those?
I don't know what that was. I didn't know it.
I remember those from the time.
It was only until I saw on that show that I was like, what in God's name is that?
So I had one of those.
What is it?
So it's like a human shell.
Or an alien or a robot or a creature.
But they looked, but the robots were inside, so they were pretending to be something else.
Yeah, and you cracked open the shell like an Easter egg, and inside it was a robot folded up and just folded their arms and legs out, and that was pretty much it.
Oh, God.
But they also, it looks like the Americans also came up with the Headmasters and the Target Masters, which is like, I have a little buddy who turns into a gun, or my head, which is weird.
Now, this show is a really interesting historical document, right? I don't know what else there is left to cover, but the 8 episodes and the 8 series of toys that they feature on The Toys That Made Us really pretty much sums up a lot of our experiences growing up with these things.
Yeah. For us here in Malaysia, not in the US, we can still relate to a lot of these toys and a lot of these.
Oh, that's what they were worldwide.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... They should probably maybe do a spin-off that is The Toys That Almost Made Us or Didn't Quite Make Us. And that could be like,
shy.
Get like the Visionaries in there or...
Silverhawks.
Robotics. Were there Silverhawks toys?
Star Command.
Cartoons. I had Silverhawks
you
toys.
Had Silverhawks toys?
I had Silverhawks toys.
Do you have those Silverhawks toys? Let's talk.
Let's take this offline.
Yeah.
I won't lie. I was on eBay after the Transformers episode. I don't know what happened to my Optimus Prime, but I want one again. That was the goal. That was the dream, right?
Yeah.
Whoever got the Optimus Prime as a kid, you'd strut into school the next day and be like, hello.
And then two years later, it's like, screw you. I've got Metroplex.
I've never had a single Transformers.
He
what?
Hasn't.
I never single Transformers.
No, not a single one.
I have so many still. I have that Jetfire. That
still,
Macross ripoff Jetfire that they
right?
can't
sure.
manufacture and they're not allowed to make anymore.
Yeah.
It's still at home under the bed.
The Toys That Made Us Season 2 is now streaming on Netflix. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Uma Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahe White.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.